be doctrinated and go out to the world and just be with all the ones that are sick and afflicted, and you know all the needs and prayer requests, and that you can just answer them as you seek that Jesus in our prayer. Amen.
All right, Isaiah chapter 64. Before we read this one, I'd just like to extend the opportunity, if you find value in it, especially the young preachers, but anybody who likes doing those papers, if you want to continue to do so, I will continue to look at them. But it's up to you whether or not you want to continue. Questions on that part? Okay. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken our way. First, that hopefully we are familiar with, go to Romans chapter 7. Things that we know, things that we are familiar with, use the phrase that hopefully that we understand. I'm not going to spell it out. Topocratic. Who understands topocratic? Okay, hopefully it's doctrine that we understand, hopefully it's doctrine that we get. But how much do we understand it? How much do we get it? That's some of the things that I wonder. And I'll explain more as hopefully we keep going here. But Romans chapter 7, verse 15, it says, for that which I do, I allow not. But what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent of the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. And how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not, there's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, acts the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, through the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So, hopefully we are familiar with this. We are totally depraved. Now, we're going through this and trying to read this. I think probably everybody in this room knows that, sees that, believes that, and holds today. The question then becomes, but how deeply do we understand this? How deeply does this and is this rooted within us? And yes, we know what we're trying to go to. How much is this framed in your understanding of yourself and of the world around it? Look at me. I understand how totally depraved that I am. And I know everybody agrees and says yes. But try to understand the depth at which that total depravity really extends. That it really comes down to that there is no good within you. And that the only thing good within anybody is Jesus Christ, and that's it. And you, the flesh, the spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. That no flesh should glory in his presence. I receive not honor from men. So it is a reality. There is nothing good within me. And now, how much do we know that? How much do we see them? Everybody says yes. And how much do we see that and know that in others? Now, and then realizing this and seeing this is a vital portion of following after the Lord. And I'll get to the reason why. But before we get to the reason why, when we think of this total depravity, everybody says, yes, I think that I am totally depraved. And amen, I hope that everybody does. But do you know how many times that I have heard little phrases and little things in the understanding of, well, I can't believe that they would get themselves into this.
Yes.
I am surprised. Yes, Brother Josh.
It is that it's almost for us, Lord, people, that our salvation, that the Lord's salvation lifts us or makes us rise above the gravity.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for me, 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Out of myself, out of what the Apostle Paul, the fire bride did. We never, his grace allows us, but we, yeah. More people have an idea that our salvation and his blessings on our lives kind of lift us above
us. That's it. Lifts the seed. Lifts Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Lifts him. He needs to be glorified. He needs to be lifted up. So this total of gravity, I hear things, well, I'm shocked that somebody would get into. They told me this. I was amazed. I can't believe. And some, they just say that offhand, but they really understand the depth of their faith. But I'm not surprised by sin. I'm not surprised by people's gravity. Look in the Old Testament. What's the second recorded sin that we have?
Murder.
It went from disobeying God. Okay. That's not that big of a deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
To murder. To look. 2 Kings chapter 17. What did they do to their children?
Mm-hmm.
Burn them to Moloch. Brother David, I've already mentioned it. Well, yeah, I can't believe that they would do that. What's a lie?
Childhood.
So many. Well, I believe that I'm totally depraved, but I wouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked that somebody would fall into this. I can't believe it. Well, then, okay, ask yourself, how deeply do we really believe?
Mm.
How strong really is it? We believe in total crap. That it's not. The Pharisees said lots of things. Religion says lots of things. We say it. How much do they actually see? So, total crap. It's a real thing. It's a powerful thing. I hope it changes everything, how you view the world and how you view yourself. Because when I look at myself, I see somebody worse than anybody else that I know. And I hope everybody in this room does the same thing. Now, I'm not ignorant. I don't know that that's true for me. I know it for me. And I hope that when you look at yourself, you know it for you. Here's where the beautiful comes. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 2. And we can find that we're going to go to Romans chapter 5, we're going to Romans chapter 12, but here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith He loved us. His great love. I'm going to tell you with this understanding of total depravity. I'm going to tell you that if you understand this about yourself, what also do you understand or do you recognize if you'll open your eyes about God? That no matter where I am, he loves me. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I don't know how many times that verse has made such an impact on me because I do know who I am. I do see who I am. And not just in pretense and not just anything, but who I am. Now, tell you, sorry, Sister Rachel, this embarrasses you a little bit.
Religious.
It shouldn't, because it's people saying good things about you. I've been hurt. Many people look and they, Sister Rachel, very smiley, happy person. She is. And I had many comments. Man, I love her innocence. I hope she never changes. I never wanted that for her. What I want for her still is to understand that she's totally depraved. Situation.
When I think of myself, I think of myself as having the potential to be a
serial killer. And right and subtle. Because within each and every one of us is the potential to do. Well, I would never do X, Y, Z. Okay, then you don't understand what sin is. But I wanted her to understand this, but I also, and this is where I do want children to be innocent, because as they learn this, what else do I want them to learn? The love that God has for them. And that he is the only way through. He is the only deliverance that there is. The more that we understand this, Luke chapter 7, Matthew chapter 9, they that behold me not a physician. Luke chapter 7, when you have the collector that one was owed a lot and the other was owed a little. The collector forgave them both. Which one had the better appreciation? Which one loved it more? The one that forgave the most. So the more that we understand that we are totally depraved, what also comes with it? The understanding of God's love.
And our need to rely on
him. Our need to rely on him. That need to rely on him. Where then is he to sell? There is no self. Where is my pride? Where is my status? Let's go back to Romans chapter 7. You know, I understand this about myself. And then I find verse 21. I find that a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my mouth. I see this. And you know what I still try to do? Try to think, well, my status is pretty good. I'm doing okay. What is that? That brings me right back here to this total depravity. Look, the veil kind of going through, to mention it a little bit. We have to go through Acts, or we look and we lift up the men. Not out in 1 minute, they were faithful men. And the Lord will give them the reward that he sees that they are due. Do you know what I really have been looking at in Acts? That is the acts of God that he has been doing. And that every one of those men, I believe they had the very same mindset that Christ had on this earth. And Christ had the mindset, I'm not coming bringing my words. It's not my doctrine. Who's in here? And so this understanding, this reality, where is the meaning? Where is the us? John. Now, last night, obviously, we had a ruckus, call it a ruckus, whatever you may call it. I'm not saying you made it. How to get people to understand some of the doctrines, how to impart some understanding that we might have. And this is where the difference of opinion came down. I have been walking a lot of my life, seen a lot of my life. Gave the example. Pastors leaving, people graduating high school and graduating church, all the different things that I have seen. I hope many of you in this room have seen it. And this is the, is it enough to teach this in the abstract? Maybe this. Maybe I'm wrong. Teach this in the abstract and that this. And that we shouldn't, not only this subject, so don't take that long off, but that we shouldn't personalize it. We shouldn't sit back and think, oh, this is actually me. And we shouldn't call people out there because it is enough to teach. And maybe you're right. I'm just trying to explain to you. I know what it is. And so, my teaching method, I try. I don't think I'm ready to change. Trying to bring it to a very personal, very real level. You know what happens in that very personal and very real level? People get offended. It hurts
me. I think that if I, as a preacher, am going to go up and I'm going to teach the word of God at a church, whether it's the church I'm a member of or a sister church that's asked me to fill in for teaching, if I'm going to preach the word of God, whether it's at my home church or a church that's asked me to fill in, there's no reason to make an individual and put a name to an individual in the teaching and in the message. Because, and this is maybe I could be wrong, but Brother Mike Dixon, my pastor, previously the pastor, has taught repeatedly that when personal, when there's an example made of an individual, whether that is right or wrong, that results in less doctrine going forward, less teaching being had. And so if I'm going to go to a sister church, I filled in Salem, if I'm going to bring out a member in Salem and say, I think that they're doing something wrong in that capacity, either as a teacher or as a preacher filling in, Brother Jake should direct the church or advise the church never to have me back in Salem, because it is likely that I have done incredible damage to that church, and that damage is likely to continue for a long time, and they may never be able to, or that individual may never be able to hear the word of God from me in teaching, preaching, or in a one-on-one setting. And so I think that I appreciate the point that you're bringing out on total depravity. The doctrine of total depravity is a correct doctrine that is brought out in the word of God. But my job as a preacher and hopefully as a pastor is to preach the verses that are in the Word of God. The personal teaching
The individual teaching that comes to a person, the personalization, that is the job of God, that is the job of the Holy Spirit to do that. It is not my job to put a person on a stand. It is not my job to make an example of a person, either in the room or not in the room, in any situation. I believe that is incredibly out of line.
If it's come down to a personal event, I agree with you. I don't think I was going with a personal event, but we'll set that aside. Question is, how do you bring this? You can understand.
I don't. Holy Spirit does.
That's where parenting you're going to be fundamentally missing. You're right. It has to be the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I've lived through and seen so many. And it is taught in the Astra. And it goes nowhere. See in Ezra where it talks about gave them the saints. And so, obviously, that viewpoint, we want it. I hope not. It's great that you're right. I'm going to tell you where I come from as trying to get people to not to just see it, to understand that it is humanity. Understand that it is not personal attack. What is a personal attack? I don't think I was personally that. When you sit back and you. Okay, so what I was trying to bring the point out. That at times, people, even your wife, will oppose the very same thing that the Lord wants you to do. Well, should I only keep that in the abstract and get people to say, yeah, that's a possibility? I think it's more of that thing. People see it, realize it, personalize it, and see it that this is a real thing. It's not something that just happens in the abstract. It's something that really does happen. And looking at a scene, and it's not a degrading human individual. Why? Because everybody, do you have an idea that you are not totally depraved? Why are you making it about you or personality?
So I don't know where you're going, but I know the real world example. I knew a church member had lied publicly, and a community member had brought it to our attention that they lied. So I prayed about it. So the Holy Spirit worked on them. A couple weeks later, Ricky Adams bring the message on the line. I used examples from the scripture of individuals who lied and what happened. Well, that's a day or two later, again, called me and talked. And I looked him face to face and I said, I was in their face, like, you've been lying. You've been talking. The Bible says not to lie. And so when I'm giving counsel, I won't be abstract. So I'll be like, look, this is what we're going to talk about. It's not going to be fun. I don't like rocking the boat, but this is the thing you're doing. The Bible says not to give it. Now it's up to you. Make the right choice. And from the pulpit, I'll use biblical examples and I'll really emphasize. And I might say the word, there might be some here today that are doing this very thing. What do you expect is going to happen to you? Let's look at what happened to that. Let's look how every single kid's that's the way I've always approached it. That's where I was taught. But I don't from the pulpit say, hey, from so and so, we're caught doing it and just throw them on that bus. When I'm giving counsel, I'll look him dead in the eye and be like, you're talking about you.
I agree with that. Maybe some of this room thought that I was doing that last night. It wasn't. Then, at least from my understanding, apologize to you if you perceived it that way, that I was attacking or harming an individual. What I'm trying to bring out is something that really does happen. I don't think it was a negative towards an individual. It's just a realization of who we are. acknowledging what really happened, and trying to think, trying to see the people that graduated, say, seeing it. That may be my approach as well. I accept that. But that's why. Right now, like I said, but I want it not to just be something in the Bible, but that I want it to be something that is very real, that's very true, that is more than words on paper, not just abstract, but these are things that really happen. When we say, yeah, I'm totally afraid, but can you believe that they did this? Can you? I can't imagine that they did that. Well, what has that been for that individual? It has not been in depth. It has not really reached. Their worldview has not really changed. Because they judge, and here is the next portion of it. If you understand this total depravity, where is your judgment towards another individual? It's gone. Who are you? Who am I? So, why is the lofty feelings? Why is... But I have no reputation. I have no fear. I don't fear if I am embarrassed. I don't care if I look bad. I only care if the Lord is with it. And it's not just in words. I'll give you an example, and it's hurt me every time. But I realized later that I should not have been hurt by it. It was back in when Toledo was getting organized. I was helping out in the Bible study over in Toledo. Brother Sean happened to be there. And I fumbled up my words, and I didn't sound good, and it made me look bad. And Brother Sean stepped in, and he said things correct and showed it in the Word of God. What does that make me look like? Well, that made me look bad. But what did it do? It solidified the words out. Solidified this is right. And so, don't really regard people's persons. And if you saw it as a personal attack, I didn't see it as a personal attack. I saw it as a real world example. Something really that does happen. Something really that I want us to internalize and realize this happens to me. It's not against anybody or to make anybody look bad. It's for both.
So when you're referring to the way that it's been taught over the years, abstract, I'm trying to understand what, when you say abstract, are you saying that then, I don't know if you're responding specifically to Brother Reagan's comment, but at what point is it wrong to teach it abstract? I guess I want you to explain more what you mean by abstract. Like, are you saying that it's not enough to just read the scriptures and that giving the sense is making it personal? Can you explain that more, what you mean by that? Because I'm not getting it.
So even in the discussion with Travis, it's locked up. Been around for a long time. Can people say to me, yes, they're God? Then you can say amen, amen to a God. But talk with them and they don't understand. Don't see. It's not interesting. See it in abstract. They see it on papers and that this is it. That, baptism is this, and this. But they don't see it in spirit and in truth. They don't have a grasp of the understanding. Maybe an easy one. Brother Cooper has been spending the last 4 months on creation, on Jesus Christ, on who he is. I understand that. I get it. I already got it. And what has happened? The teaching becomes solidified. The teaching becomes grounded. The teaching becomes real. That's what I'm talking about in the abstract. Trying to take it from the abstract to a very real, very strong, very personal level. Now, this, what was I trying to bring in? And the opposition was how I bring it up. The reality that I wanted to try to bring out was the fact that at some point, Pastor is going to be standing by himself, and even his family may very well be against him. And he's going to have to stand. He's going to have to contend. And if he is not aware of that, if he is not attentive, then it's not going to, you haven't been grounded. And so the opposition was, okay, I put a name to it. I put a person to it. Okay. Then maybe that's where I'm wrong. Oh. Try to find a way to make it real. That's what I mean by it. That's what I mean by opening the sense of that I see it. So just try to bring it to a very real, strong family. Maybe, I'm going to keep some aspects, trying to find a way to bring it to real world applications, things that it's that are uncomfortable at times because this is real. That was my thought process. That's where I am.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, unless a hearer, I mean, the Bible makes it very clear that unless you're a doer of the word and not a hearer only, you will not be blessed in your deed. 100% agreement in that. And I think as a father, as a husband, as a teacher, as a pastor, as just somebody who, if I wasn't a pastor and I was just a child of God, just trying to share the gospel with somebody, in the depths of your striving to follow the Lord, like the very core of trying to follow in Christ's footsteps, you want people to see the Lord the way you see the Lord, to see the scriptures the way you see the scriptures, to know the Lord as their personal savior. I get what you're saying as far as that desire that you have for whether it's the flock, whether it's a person or whatever. But, there comes a point where it's line upon line, precept upon precept, time and teaching, so on and so forth. And so I think that I wasn't understanding what you kept referring to as abstract. Because, I mean, the Bible says what it says. It's plain enough. It's as plain as God wants it to be.
How many people actually internalize the scripture till they just understand it from their head?
But I can't make anybody internalize it.
It is going to be God. But is this supposed to be a little bit more of advanced lessons? So make it impassive. Try to understand me. Try to look at it. Try to examine. Try to make it personal.
And I guess I'll just say this one thing and then I'll be quiet. My response to that would be time and teaching, the full counsel of God, line upon line. And at that point, I'm not saying you sit on people's couches, you spend hours at a time with them, you make it personal, but it's with the counsel, the full counsel of God, and the multitude of scriptures that we have. And I mean, you keep going with that. Okay. Time and teaching over and over. Well, I think it sounds like the scriptures are abstract and it's my job to make them personal to somebody. That's what it sounds like to me, is you're saying that the way we teach doctrines is abstract and we need to make it personal.
Helps an individual if you can versify it and make it real work. If you can give them the sense of it.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit is going to take his words and convict an individual person's heart and do a whole lot better job than he'll take my words.
Don't think that I'm against that.
Well, the scriptures are not abstract.
If we understand this, how many people do you know that have sat in here in this room and many other places and listened to the very same and one of the W?
I agree with you. I agree with you.
So,
but what would a teacher, those that walked away, what should the teachers have said? That walked away and weren't indoctrinated. What else could the teachers have said?
Try to show it to them. Try to explain it to them. In real world examples. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not saying I'm not wrong. Obviously, it didn't go the way. Changed the way that I wanted the class to go. I don't even think what I was trying to bring out was that good. That bad. It was just that I put my face to it. And then that was not right, that I put a face to it. Okay, we're teaching the same thing, but I put a face to it. But we didn't like putting a face to it. We didn't like to say that it was somebody that I'm choosing. Okay, maybe I'm wrong in that.
He's trying to
find out. Time will tell. But I wonder, I've been looking, I have been examining, why do we have so many people walk away? What are we doing wrong? What is it that we can do better? The conclusions that I come to. I'm not saying, you know, but obviously we're teaching the Word of God. Hopefully it's been an example. I have. Try bringing up scriptures. What I try to do is try to realize what is this saying? What does this mean? Leave it at that. Quite a comment. Thanks, Brother Nathan, please come forward. Teaching. So, man.
It's true.